everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Friday Food Fight. My name is Wes Christian, here again with Bart Christian for another amazing episode. And this week we've got a really special guest. And Bart, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about Mr. Mark Webb?
Well, you know, Wes, it's my great pleasure to introduce this. You know, when we had him on the show last time, I called Mark a living legend in North Carolina. And I got to tell you that that really is the truth, because every time I mention Mark Webb's name to anybody that's from the Southeast, their eyes just light up. You know, it's like Mark, you bring so much joy and so much happiness to people when you talk to them, and it's just, and you can tell it that your spirit just bleeds over to them. And I just, when I say that, I mean that.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You know, one of the things, I'll just kind of quickly kind of go through this little, what you've done. I know you've been a member of the, you've been in the food service industry since 2000. You know, that's sort of kind of one of my anniversaries too. I've been in the been in Arizona since 2000, and you're currently the director of K-12 Southeast Sales for SA Piazza, which a lot of people may know as Wild Mike's Pizza.
Oh, Mike. Yes.
And you had that role since 2016, correct?
That is correct. Been here since 2016. Actually, I was the broker for Wild Mike's for about 3 years prior to that, when I was with a local Georgia broker. And when you said that folks' eyes light up when they hear my name, I didn't know if it was something bad they had eaten or something that would cause that reaction. One thing I just try to do is, you know, I just try to bring joy. I try to live what I talk about, and you know, I don't force any of my thoughts, my beliefs on anybody. I just try to treat everybody the same and let them know what I have to offer. And if it works for them, great. And if it doesn't, I'll be sneaking around their house late at night. So,
you know, I know that you told us last time, but you're an ordained minister, which I think is just fantastic. I know that you're a former almost TV star. When you were, because you're a singer, and you know, I know that you told us the story about you being on Star, almost making Star Search,
almost,
and I know that you share that singing passion with our current SNA president, Mr. Reggie Ross, and yes. You shared a story with us one time about something that happened in a North Carolina conference, and I know people have maybe heard this before, but I want to hear it again. So tell me that story again.
Yes, you were correct. And I'll tell you the abbreviated version, I guess, or somewhat. President Reginald Ross, great friend of mine, known him for many, many years. I look at him as a mentor. The only thing I hate was that he came in as president on such a terrible year dealing with COVID that, you know, a lot of people probably didn't really get to see, you know, what Reggie is all about. But anyway, we were doing a talent show at the North Carolina SNA show, and it's probably been 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember exactly when, but I was on stage singing and had my eyes closed, as I tend to do sometimes, and I was just singing my heart out, and I heard the crowd just roaring and carrying on like it was a Super Bowl event or something. And you know, I thought to myself, man, I'm really killing it today. You know, I'm hitting all the right notes and all. And then finally, when I opened my eyes, one of my very good friends, who's a director in Yadkin County, Cindy Marion, she dresses up in costume, and she had this pair of ladies' underwear that had to be a size 200 or whatever. And she was just twirling them around in the air as I was singing. And that's what the crowd was reacting to. And, you know, I tried to find my way to the end of the song. And then eventually she took the young lady's underwear and threw them on stage. And at that point, I was done.
That's it. Drop the mic.
Yeah, I was done. I couldn't say another word. So.
Yeah. You know, the Wild Mike's has got such an interesting brand. Yeah, obviously the product is excellent. But I know one of the things you guys have used for branding is the big monster truck. And we talked about it a little bit before, but I want to ask you a question about the truck. As we're beginning to ease out of the pandemic and we're beginning to see schools begin to open up around the country, I personally am getting a lot of phone calls from districts asking if I can do, you know, maybe like a Zoom or something to, you know, inspire and recharge their staff as they're coming back. Have y'all used that monster truck around the schools to kind of do things like that as staff comes back?
We have. Unfortunately for us, especially with me being the furthest away here in the Southeast, They do it a lot more. You know, our company is headquartered out of Clackamas, Oregon. Mm-hmm. So they do a lot more with the big rig out on the West Coast and going down into California and Arizona. But I'll let a little surprise out, because at this point, I don't know if the event's going to happen or not. But our plan is to bring it to Chicago for A&C. But we don't know right now where things stand with A&C. But we do, it travels around a lot, and they use it for a lot of retail events. And so usually when they're going out for a retail event, we'll try to tie it in with a local school district or something. You know, my hopes is to get a East Coast truck one day, but you know, we're not quite ready to go that route yet. So
it'd be a Wild Marks truck.
But I tell you, we do a lot with that truck, and you know, we have a lot of merchandise that we send our schools, and we're all about fun. You know, the kids love our stickers and magnets and t-shirts and all this kind of thing that we give away. So it's a great company to work for, and I consider it more of a family than a company.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be so important when kids are coming back, to see that truck and have that smile and, you know, just have that little bit of fun and excitement to, you know, bring us back into hopefully this new school year. One thing that I like kind of starting the show off with, just, you know, to kind of help, you know, continue to let people know a little bit more about you, Mark. Tell us a little bit about maybe something that you're just absolutely obsessed with or just really into right now in this moment.
Right now, unfortunately, the thing that I'm most into is my recliner. No.
That's important.
Yeah. I am one that likes to go and get it and be out with districts, be out doing sampling and food shows and things like that. It's really been hard on me in this past year to not be able to visit schools and to do all those events. And so I find myself now having a little cabin fever, you know, when I'm wanting to get out and do things and have fun with the kids and sample our new products that we have. But we're not able to do that as we have in the past. So really my obsession right now is focusing just really on my family. I wish it was something more fun to say, but it's just really just focusing on the family and making sure everybody's taken care of.
Yeah, I think family is so important. And we actually had Doug Wardell on not too long ago from Spokane, Washington. And, you know, he really emphasized that, you know, create moments with your family and with your kids right now while you have that extra time. Right. And, you know, I think that's such an important key piece to not overlook.
Yeah, my daughter would probably say that my obsession right now is my two grandboys, because they have me. I never thought I would say it, but they do have me wrapped around their little finger. I've got a 4-year-old Caden and a 2.5-year-old now, Cole, and they really just have me wrapped around their finger. And it's so funny that, you know, all of us will be in a room and they ask for something, they'll come to Papa, because they know Papa is going to give them whatever they want. And it's so funny, my 4-year-old, he now is able to tell me, you know, which toy he wants and where to actually go buy the toy. So he sends me to Walmart or the Circle store, which is Target. So he'll always be sure to send me to Walmart or the Circle store to make sure I get his toys.
I mean, the best way to get what you want is tell exactly what you want and where to find it. That's great.
There you go.
That's like I heard a story today that says, you know, a little boy sitting in his living room and his grandparents are there. He's sitting in his living room. He's yelling, God, 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 bring me a bicycle. I need a bicycle. And his mom looks at him and says, look, God's not hard of hearing. And he says, I know, but grandma is.
I like that.
Oh, that is too funny. Well, like Bart said a few minutes ago, you've been with Wild Mike's for the past 6 years. Did I hear that correct?
That's correct.
So tell me a little bit about maybe someone that has had a major influence maybe in the past 6 years or maybe before that, just on your life and on your career.
Oh, wow. Well, currently, I would say, you know, it's definitely Mike. A lot of people, he likes to sit in the background now that's Mike Piazza, the national sales manager. But he is such a caring and loving guy that it's hard to believe that he is your boss, actually, because he cares for us so much. I'll never forget, you know, it's been other times, and I know there's other bosses that handle it, that does this as well. But when my son passed away on us unexpectedly a couple years ago, one of the first faces I saw all the way from across the country was Mike. And, you know, even after telling him, you do not have to travel all the way from Oregon to North Carolina to be here. And he said, no, you are family. I'm there. And it's that kind of feeling that, you know, I get. I've had offers and people question me about leaving. And I said, no, unless this place ever burns down, I'm here to stay. So he is a big influence on me currently. As we mentioned earlier, Reginald Ross, the current SNA president, a man of faith, a man of his word, you know, not one that's out partying and doing all this kind of stuff, and to each his own, but, you know, he is somebody else that I look up to. And then from a personal standpoint, I had a not perfect, but a very good upbringing with my parents and grandparents as well. And so, you know, my dad is no longer with us and none of my grandparents, but I look at them as definite role models. Of course, my grandfather was just an old tobacco farmer here in North Carolina, but his work ethic and things like that is definitely somebody that inspired me to work hard as well.
Yeah, and having those role models and those influences are just so important. And, you know, it's I reflect on, you know, kind of my past and people have made influences on me. And one of them sitting on the call with us here just made a tremendous impact on, you know, the direction that we've gone with our business and just different mind kind of shifts and aspect, different ways of looking at things and thinking about really life and just the way that we operate on a daily basis.
Right, right. Yeah.
I think as we get older and we look back, you know, so many things that little things that didn't really, we just didn't catch. Honestly, we just didn't catch. And we look back and we go, wow. And, you know, I think back on my life and I think back to my parents, my grandparents, my children, and all the things that I missed, but all the things that I also was able to be blessed with. And I'm just very thankful for the life that I've been given, and I appreciate those words, Wes, because that means a lot to me, and it is it's a very interesting life we live, and the moments will slip us by if we're not careful.
Absolutely, because
I think it's also important to reflect on the people that have made an impact on your life, because you know I look at you know where I'm at right now, and I don't know, did I have two kids last time we talked, Mark, or did I just have one?
You had two.
Okay. Well, yeah. I've still got two. we don't have a third one yet, thank God. You know, I've got two kids, and I look back on the influences, and specifically, what were those impactful moments? Because if it impacted me, then it's something that I want to also have impact my kids in a positive way.
Right, right. And not to take any day for granted, because just a few days ago, my hair was completely black. But, you know, now it's more salt and pepper.
I got a little hair, too.
And a little more salt than pepper.
Well, Mark, you know, the telenutrition industry is so unique in so many different ways, but it's also such a close-knit kind of group of individuals. And I always love hearing how people got into the child nutrition industry, because it's always such an interesting kind of story.
Well, kind of like Bart was saying just a second ago about me, and of course, I don't break my arm trying to pat myself on my on the back, but, you know, all of my life after college and working my work life, I've just tried to always treat people the way I wanted to be treated and you know, be kind and caring. And actually, I broke into the industry, I think it had to be 1993 or so, with Utz Potato Chip Company. And lo and behold, I was, you know, out delivery driver, and I bumped into someone from Otis Spunkmeyer, and they talked me into leaving Utz and going to Otis Spunkmeyer. And so I went to Otis Spunkmeyer, started as a driver, left that position and went to a food service. They called them food service rep back then, in the school arena. And so that's when I got into K-12, and then did some other things in between there, worked for a couple of local brokers before ending up here. But the thing about it is, you know, I fell in love with the child nutrition industry so much. I can remember there was a point where, you know, Otis Spunkmeyer had gotten rid of all of our positions, and Then I went to this brokerage and they closed down. I went to this other brokerage and it was a small local, you know, brokerage. They closed down. And I said, you know what? Maybe this K-12 thing isn't for me. You know, maybe I'll get out and do something else. Well, after being out for about 3 months, I was begging to come back, you know. so it, like you said, it'll put a hook in you. It'll put a hold on you. And, you know, especially with the directors that you tend to, you know, find a friendship with, and it's and then more than just the customer. So, you know, they're friends. And, you know, again, I hate to keep going back to this, that even when my son did pass, and not just Mike coming across the country, but there were so many of the directors and even my competitive friends in the industry that were there, you know, for me. And so we're a real close knit, as you know, you've seen the interactions over the years. So that makes you feel real good when you know you've made a new friend and not just a customer.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the school nutrition industry has really been pushed this year more than any other year. And this has been a year like we've never seen before. What type of things have you implemented? You mentioned earlier, you know, really kind of shifting and focusing attention more towards family and just the things that are really important at home. What types of things from a professional standpoint have you and Wild Mike's implemented to kind of weather this storm that we're in right now?
Well, fortunately, we've got our retail side, which for years, the kind of K-12 side had carried them for a while. Especially out here on this end of the country, a lot of people aren't familiar with our retail side. But now kids are starting to see our name all over the place because moms and dads are buying those pizzas in the grocery store. So that's just helping the K-12 side. So when they get back in school, they can brand relate that to say, hey, you know, I had that pizza at home and now it's on the school menu. So it's not just quote unquote school pizza, you know. One thing we have done is we have created more individually wrapped for the demand that we are having currently. I know we're reaching a point where a lot of schools are starting to open back up in-person learning. And so they hopefully will go back to the traditional, unwrapped bulk product. But right now, every product that we make is available in bulk or individually wrapped. And that was another thing that our owner of the company, Steve Piazza, did. He brought in new wrapping machines and the demand is there. And so we're pumping it out as quick as we can.
And that's awesome. And, you know, Wild Mike's is such a unique company, and we've talked a little bit about some of those different aspects with, you know, the monster truck and, you know, just some of the different philosophy things that you guys have internally and some of the values that you hold dear. Tell us just from your words and your perspective, what really separates Wild Mike's from the rest of the pack?
I have to give away a secret if I do that. No. One of the things about ours is, again, a few years back when, you know, everything had to be whole grain. Kids could not, you know, thank God it wasn't in my era, you know, as far as eating school lunch, because, of course, a lot of those products were terrible when they first came out as whole grain. But we found a unique way to hide that whole grain from the kids, where our crust makes the difference. We put herbs, spices, and a cheese blend on the bottom of our crust so that when we make the crust, we flip it over and build the pie on top. And so when the kids bite into the product, they're first tasting those herbs and spices that are baked into the crust. So we actually hide the whole grain from them. I'll be honest with you, we have enriched flour, also white flour available. I like the school pizza better because it does have those herb spices and that four cheese blend on top that the kids, they always think I can go out to a test. Well, back when we could go out to testings, they would always ask me what restaurant is this from because they did not believe that it was quote unquote school pizza. And so that's one thing that makes us unique. We use a pork pepperoni in some of our products, and then in a lot of our other products we use a beef pepperoni versus a turkey. A lot of manufacturers are still using turkey, and that has a very different taste than our beef pepperoni. So another thing we do differently is, say, like on our 5-inch deep dish pizza. We dice our pepperoni and put it on there. And some of my competitors use 3 coins. And why do we dice ours? So that when you bite into it, you get pepperoni in every bite. And you don't have to keep playing around with those 3 pepperoni on top of
Tear them into little pieces and spread them around. I've been there.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I say, gone are the days. You and I remember this, Mike. Was the, and Wes, I don't think you ever saw this, was the rectangular pizza. Remember the rectangular pizza? And they'd come in a sheet and they'd break it all up off the thing, throw it on the tray with a scoop of corn and a handful of lettuce and maybe a piece of chocolate cake. And that was lunch.
You would not believe this, but there are still a few districts out there that are still stuck on that 4x6 rectangle pizza. And, and I always just tell them, give me a try. You know,
let
the kids decide, you know, price range. You know, we use a 100% mozzarella in our products. We don't use any 50-50 blends, so you're not getting that fake cheese. We do have the cleanest label in the industry, and it was so interesting. I had a director challenge me on that once. He said, well, there's no clear definition of what a clean label is. I said, well, take my label, put it against the competitor's label. You can pronounce everything in my product. We don't put anything artificial in our product except for the vitamins that the government requires us to put in there. So that's what makes us different, is our clean label, our high quality product.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I mean, everyone, I mean, especially, I mean, I live in Southern California, and eating clean is, I don't know if it's a fad. I think it's just a new way of life that people are jumping on board with. Yeah. And it's just so important to really pay attention to what we're eating these days.
Yeah, I was not that smart in school, but I do want to be able to pronounce everything that I'm eating. So it's kind of hard when you're eating monosodium, whatever they, you know, some of these other guys are putting in their products, you know. But ours is, you know, 100% mozz, a 4-cheese blend with Romano, provolone, and, you know, different things like that. And so you can pronounce it all.
That's amazing.
Yes.
You know, as we're looking at the upcoming school year and kind of planning for the future, what are some things that maybe you're doing and starting to implement now to really help industry and school food authorities and school nutrition professionals in general really collaborate for this really kind of unforeseen startup?
Well, get your bleep button ready, because I'm about to say the F word, forecasting, a word that we... generally, production loves that word, but, you know, as you stated, in this era, this time, it is so difficult to forecast and really know what I know it's hard on districts. It's hard on us. It's hard on distributors. It's hard on everybody. Everybody is doing the very best they can. Districts don't know how many kids they're going to serve at a time. You know, they're getting a general idea. Distributors don't know when, if, or, you know, when the product is coming in. We don't know how much is going to be ordered. So we're really just asking everybody to look in their crystal ball, give us your very best guess as to, you know, what you're going to need. So right now, forecasting is the biggest issue we're having. Again, with we're getting hit because we're one of the few companies that do offer a retail and a food service product. So right now, we're being slammed on the retail side because, you know, grocery stores and Walmarts and people are looking for product to take home. And again, the schools are starting to pump back up again. And so it's kind of like, you know, but again, we're putting some measures in place now to make some expansions on our current plant. Again, I mentioned some new machinery that we're hoping we can weather this storm and have people be patient. And trust me, I've been a sales rep for 20 years, and, you know, all of the other regional directors that we have, we're all eager to sell product, but we, you know, we're doing our very best to get it out there as quick as we can to all the customers. So forecasting is really the biggest issue right now for us.
Mm-hmm. And don't you see manufacturers that have pivoted like you guys have, are positioned to be in such a strong position? I've talked to some manufacturers, some reps and whatnot. And, you know, some manufacturers have sort of just kind of been waiting for things to spring back to life before they made the investment. And I just admire what you guys have done and make the investment equipment and things so that you're, I mean, because the ramp up, when children begin to come back, the ramp up in production I can see it being dramatic. Absolutely. And if you're not prepared for that, I mean, it could, you're gonna find yourself, you know, falling by the wayside, maybe.
Yeah. And not to say we haven't had our own hiccups, you know, as far as, you know, production, because I'm sure everyone has. But again, just like you just stated, the owner of our company, Steve Piazza, who is Mike's brother, he's not waiting until the pandemic is over to see what's going to happen. He's, again, putting in new machinery, buying new trucks. He's doing whatever he has to do. We're a very stable company. We haven't had to lay off anyone. We haven't had to let anyone go. We're still adding actually new products to our portfolio. As a few weeks ago, we had our latest new product come out. So, and again, he put a big focus on that IW, because at the beginning of this pandemic, that's what everybody was begging for. IW. They needed something that could, you know, they wouldn't have to touch the product and send it home. So we're doing a lot of that for the industry.
Well, since you touched on forecasting, let's talk a little bit about kind of some different strategies that districts can potentially use, because there might be some people out there that, you know, haven't really started forecasting or maybe weren't planning on forecasting. So first off, let's just clarify exactly, if you don't mind, what exactly are you referring to when you're talking about forecasting, and what are maybe some potential risk that districts would run into if they do not forecast?
Right. The risk they would run into, I'm going to answer that part first. The risk that they would definitely run into is that manufacturers, not just us, but manufacturers wouldn't have the product available for them to purchase. And again, none of us have that crystal ball, but what I tend to think and believe is that now that districts have been sending these lunches home for students and supper plans and things like that, is that even a lot of the kids that traditionally did not eat, quote unquote, again, school food, they're seeing now that school food is not terrible anymore, you know? And so we think that when they come back, the participation is going to increase now, because they've had the opportunity to try it at home, and basically for free to them, but to try it at home. So now when they get back in school and they see those same products on the menu, then they'll be more apt to not bring their lunch, or high schoolers not skipping lunch, or if they have an open campus still, going out to the local restaurants, but they would go into the cafeterias and eat the product. So we're advising all of our districts to kind of plan ahead. I would rather have more pizza prepared than you need, than to have a very little amount of pizza ready and then everyone start calling, because right now we're in 40, well, we're commodity processing in 45 states, I believe it is now, but we're commercially in all 50 states, and soon to be Puerto Rico whenever the gates open back up again.
Yeah.
Well, I see two things happening with participation. Number one, the continuation of the SFSP simplified program through the end of December. If school comes back to normal next year, that's going to greatly increase participation, in my mm-hmm. opinion. And the second mm-hmm. thing is, I think you're going to have a lot of parents, now that they've seen the food, you know, mm-hmm. little Johnny, little Judy is fussing about the lunch. Mm-hmm. Now that they've seen the food, you know, little Johnny and little Judy's mom and daddy are going to go, you know what? I've seen this. It's not that bad. I'm not making lunch today.
There you go.
That's a possibility.
Yeah. Why am I giving you $10 to buy, you know, something on the way home from school or whatever, versus, you know, the lunch program? And what I try to get people to understand also is that the more kids eat that do eat school lunch, it increases the dollars that USDA is actually going to help out the district with.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's a benefit to all for eating school breakfast and school lunch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, really the answer is communication with your industry partners and yeah. really, you know, planning for the start of this upcoming school year.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, it's kind of weird because, of course, we have 50 states and no one is doing the exact same thing in these states. Everybody's doing their own thing. I'm getting word in my region alone of some districts that are going back 100%. There's still some others who are still, you know, waiting to see, you know, let's see what happens down in this other state before, you know, we open up the gates in this state. So, it's still kind of a wait and see game. You know, you just never know. Just never know.
Yeah. You know, this year has been, well, I guess for some districts, this year has been really hard budget-wise. And for other districts, it hasn't been so hard. You know, for those districts mm-hmm. that have really been hit in the pockets, you know, really hard this school year, you know, for some of them, they might actually have the chopping block out and getting ready to figure out how they can maybe trim some unnecessary cost. What yeah. advice would you give to school food professionals before cutting an industry partner?
Well, again, just kind of give them the chance to see, you know, how things are going to turn out, because none of us really know what the next phase or the next step is going to be. So before I would trim any partner, I would ensure that, you know, we have the best, they have the best quality, giving the kids a chance to see new things. And like Bart mentioned a few minutes ago, if you're still serving that 4x6 and that's all you're serving, yeah, you're putting something on a plate, but what is your participation? Or how great can your participation be if you allow another product in? I've got a local district that I won't name in another state here that they swear out that they have the best menu in the country. Well, I've never been able to get in that, unfortunately, door to test my product to show them that I have a higher quality pizza than what he's serving. They are serving, I'm sorry. But I'm like, don't cut a partner. Give us all of us are out here for the same goal, is to make sure that hungry kids are fed. And if you put a less than quality product on your plate and it ends up in the trash can, then what have you accomplished? Yeah, your numbers look good because that was another plate sold, but the kid is not eating it. The kid is going hungry. So I would say give the manufacturers an opportunity to show you, to put our best foot forward and show you what we can do for you.
Yeah, I think that we've been through such the child nutrition heroes that have been serving kids every day since March of last mm-hmm. year, they've been through so much dramatic change that I think mm-hmm. to change particularly significant vendor partner relationships to save a few pennies right. is not necessarily going to be the best move.
Absolutely.
And I think it's also, you're talking about participation, that looking at, you know, the food offering, and maybe if something does cost a penny more or is right. a penny less,
right.
Is it gonna affect your participation? And if it can affect it positively, it may be worth that extra penny.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Old adage is you get what you pay for, huh?
That is true. You definitely get what you pay for. I
had another director. I was in a meeting one day, and I won't mention the state, but it was a meeting where my broker had invited in a lot of directors for us to present. And after the end of my presentation, I say any questions, and this one director in the back of the room puts up his hand and, why are your prices so, and I won't use the term he used, so dadgum high. And I thought about it for a quick second, and I told him, I said, do you remember, and Wes, you're probably too young to remember this, but do you remember when they had those cars called Yugos on the road? I said, anybody could drive a Yugo, $59 a month. Anybody in the world could own a Yugo. I said, when's the last time you've seen a new Yugo on the road?
Yeah, the old joke was where you go alone. Because that's about all the room that was in it.
Yeah, and so there's a reason that Yugos are not still being made today. They were cheap, and they got you from where you needed to got you where you needed to go for that instance, but they died off pretty quick there. So.
Well, and like you talked about earlier, having the cleanest label in the industry, yeah. you can taste quality.
Absolutely.
And the kids can taste quality.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But quality does cost.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, in the last couple of minutes here, as we get close to the end of the show, I'd love to get your opinion and kind of maybe advice for school nutrition authorities on, you know, commodity processing and allocations from USDA Foods.
From what I'm understanding, and I believe to be correct, they are USDA is actually going to use the numbers, the participation numbers from school year 18-19. Thank God. So they aren't really looking at last year's numbers. There's a lot of good in that because again, there were more kids eating in 18-19 than, of course, there were last school year. But the only downside or one of the downsides I would see out of that is some of the same products that the districts were serving in 18-19 are different than what's being served, you know, now. So it's kind of hard to juggle that. So from my understanding, you know, my belief on that commodity, and, you know, I hate to say it, but this just definitely happens to everyone, is that you go ahead and divert those numbers to your manufacturers. Oh, to me. No, to all of your manufacturers. And you get that saved up and ready for next year. And if for some reason things don't turn out the way that you wish for them to, then there's always a way to correct that, whether it be with different products, if your bid so allows, or unfortunately, if it means transferring from one manufacturer to another. But don't waste those dollars on all of, you know, the brown box and the unfinished products, because there's a lot of finished products out here that I know your kids will eat.
Well, and in this upcoming environment, we could still continue the IW, individually wrapped, mode of service for the foreseeable future before we actually get back to
absolutely
scratch cooking that people really love to do.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I love about our product is, of course, the IW cooks off a little different than the bulk product. The only difference I've seen in ours is just something as minute as the bottom of the crust doesn't get quite as crispy. But the Mylar that we use, and it has all those air pockets and air spaces in there. So it's still a great quality product that I would put up against any local restaurant. I know two that I can beat anyway, but so give it a chance. Let us send you samples. I'm sure, and I'm speaking on behalf of all manufacturers, not just us. Get the product in, get it in front of a small group of kids and see what they think about it. If they don't like it, then we'll move on. You know, that's my thing is don't just judge it from a piece of paper or judge it from your adult palate or what you think or what you've done for the last 35 years. Get it in front of the kids, see what they think, see if this is a quality product that they can appreciate. You know, we live in a world of change. So I would say, especially to some directors that may have been in their position for quite a while and are happy with the way things are, old adage, ain't broke, don't fix it. But give it a shot. Give some new products a chance and see what it can do for your participation.
Mm. Yeah. Well, last kind of question for both you, Mark, and also right. Bart. Is there any final advice that you would give to school nutrition directors as we kind of wrap up this school year and get close to the summer months and kind of planning for the upcoming summer and then ultimately the startup in fall?
Again, and I may be repeating myself, I hope not, but the advice that I would give, I know we're all living in a Zoom era now. I never in my life thought that I would spend so much time in front of a computer. In fact, I'm not built that way. I had a job at one point which required me to sit in one particular cubicle all day long, and that didn't last long. I just could not do that. But the advice that I would give to directors now is to, again, give and I don't necessarily have to be in front of you. I know we can email, we can Zoom, we can ship samples, we can get you all the information you want. All of my nutritionals are right on my webpage, on our webpage. So, you know, some other manufacturers have asked me, why do you do that? And I was like, because we have nothing to hide. You can go right on my on Wild Mike's Ultimate Pizza and boom, you'll see all of my nutritionals. We're not trying to keep it secret. We're not afraid of who's going to try to rub it off from us. So give us a chance. Ask for products. We can come see you. We can meet you in the parking lot, or we can just ship it UPS. We can pick it up from a distributor, whatever it takes. But be open to these other ideas and open to these districts so we can get, you know, some items in that the kids want to eat.
My two cents is this. As people begin to come back to school, mm-hmm. and as children begin to come back, as you begin to bring in some districts, maybe staff that's been furloughed, mm-hmm. beginning to bring these people back, attitude and their feeling about the job that they're doing is going to be so critical mm-hmm. as these kids come. They're going to need those smiles and those mm-hmm. kind words more than they have ever needed, not just for the kids, but they're going to need it for each other. So I think directors, don't neglect spending maybe a Zoom meeting here or even an in-person meeting talking about, you know, the value of what your staff does. You know, we're coming up on Child Nutrition Superhero Month in March, which coincidentally is the time that many, many districts are going to be bringing their staffs back mm-hmm. or their children back. So I would encourage you to make the next 90 days, heck, the next 9 months, focus mm-hmm. on the child nutrition heroes that have been at work every day. And those who have not been at work every day, those who came back because they understand the value of what they do for the kids. Because right. it's critically important. You know, if we ever doubted child nutrition is essential before,
yes.
we can't doubt it now.
Yeah.
They don't need to doubt it.
Yeah. I agree 110%. My wife's a nurse who works at our local health department. So she's basically not had a day off since this pandemic hit. And we call them essential workers, but you hit it right on the head when you said these folks that are pushing these meals out, making sure that hungry kids are fed. And even while before this pandemic ends, if you get in touch with your local school district, I'll say this to parents and families, get in touch with your local districts and find out where the food is being served, whether it's, you know, on site and you have to pick it up, or, you know, if there's school buses bringing them around, whatever the case, we don't want any kids hungry. And you're so right. When these kids have been through something that at our age, neither three of us have ever had to deal with. So just to get back to some sense of normalcy, I know they're looking forward to it.
And the lunch staff is a big part of that normalcy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Mark, always a good time talking with you. Bart, same with you. I hope you guys have a great weekend. And for everyone out there watching, this has been another awesome episode of Friday Food Fight. We look forward to seeing you again next week at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Take care.